time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, and if you can take it. All about your debt, and if you can pay it. It's all about pain, and who's gonna make it?
Yo, welcome back, Gem listeners. This is the latest edition of The Hot Seat. I am here, as always. I am your host, EJ Russell. This episode of The Hot Seat, we are live at Moe's Pub here on St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, Tyler.
As to you, EJ. Good to be here.
So we are here at our favorite place to record. That's Moe's Pub. It is the best place to catch game in Escanaba. 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap. Best place to catch game in Escanaba. Best pub in Escanaba. They will have all of the March Madness games on here. We've got our general manager, Abby's all dolled up in her festive St. Patrick's Day gear. So we're feeling it here. Again, thank you to Moe's Pub for being a sponsor. The Hot Seat always is powered by the Game Entertainment Media. Check us out at thegamesportsshow.com, thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. You can check us out on Apple, Spotify, Podbean, Podtail. I don't know why I keep doing this one. Pod World. Okay, we're everywhere. We're international. We're here recording. Thegamesportsshow.com, thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. Podbean is the best app to catch all of the editions of the game. This episode is also sponsored by So Right. That's PSO-RITE.com, So-Right.com. So Right's a unique U-shaped fitness product designed for wellness and recovery. I use mine every time before I go golfing to stretch out my back. It's a unique U-shaped fitness product. It's absolutely fantastic. Loved by high-intensity workout people. Originally designed to stretch out your psoas muscle. Check out the full line of So Right products from the So Right, So Spine, So Mini, the So Ducky. They even got one that floats in the tub now. That's PSO-RITE.com. That's So-Right.com. Use code GEM10 for an additional 10% off your order. GEM10 is your discount code. GEM10 for an additional 10% off your order. We're going to kick things off here. I'm going to get my introduction for my co-host. He is Escanaba Excellence. He is the notorious N-O-R-S-E. Co-host, contributor, all-around good guy. My buddy Tyler Ouellette is here. You're looking like a Harvard graduate today. Tyler, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, he says that because I have my Harvard crew neck. Actually,
oh, did you go there?
Central Michigan. They call it the Harvard of Michigan.
So, okay.
Yeah. But no, happy to be here, EJ. Excited to talk some college basketball, which is obviously it's March Madness. This is the week, best week of the year in sports, in my honest opinion.
I agree.
Oh, it has to be, especially this first weekend. The most games of any weekend, obviously. So it's going to be a good one. We're going to talk dive really deep into the bracket, and let's do it.
Before we dive into the bracket.
Rookie move, my EJ. He was muted.
Oh, man.
He was muted.
This is going to be kind of our bracketology special. We're going to cover mostly March Madness today. Touch a little bit on the NFL free agency scene. Might touch on the NBA. We'll see how things go. We usually shoot for about an hour of recording. We think this might be a quick one, but last time we said that we gave you an hour and a half on tape. So before we get into our gripes and groans and check out who's on the hot seat, we got a short list this week. Tyler, as tradition, we will grab our shots here. Tyler, you got your pink Whitney?
Yes, I do, sir.
Down the hatches.
The best one yet.
That one does not. This one yet.
It's a normal size this time.
I didn't.
Oh, yeah, these are.
Ooh, last time,
doubles.
It totally was.
If we had another sponsor on the show, it might be Pink Whitney.
We'll hit him up. I'll hit Fortnite.
We'll hit him up. We'll text Fortnite and Biz and Whitney.
Let's do it.
See what happens.
Hey, they were just up in the UP.
I heard.
Was just in the UP recently. They rediscovered the Great Lakes. That was what they called it. It was really cool.
They didn't discover us, and they're missing out on this podcast because I certainly love doing it. I know our listeners certainly enjoy it. And Tyler, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Shots down, topics up, okay? Who's on the first hot seat for you this week? I think we only got two. Traditionally, we do three, but who's on a hot seat for you this week?
For me, it's the it's really the NCAA's seeding of a certain team. It's Oklahoma State. They were seeded a 4 seed.
And let's make sure we point this out before we go over their seeding. Incredible performance in the Big 12 tournament, played a lot of good teams, have had a great year, definitely deserving of what I'll say a higher seed.
Yeah, thank you, AJ. We agree. Yeah, so they're the 4 seed in the Midwest region as of now. They play 13 seeded Liberty. I'm just going to go right now, rattle some stats off. All right. Oklahoma State, 28-8 in one of the probably the toughest conference of the whole NCAA Big 12, right? Big 10, Big 12 are the top two. 10 quad one wins this year. Quads are, there's 1, 2, 3, and 4. I don't know the exact terminology, but it really takes everything into consideration when they like, so quad one's the most important. They have 10 of them. They have the third strongest strength of schedule this year, which is huge. Like, they played the hardest teams all year. They won 8 out of their last 10 games to end the year. They beat Baylor in the Big 12, which is in the Big 12 tournament, which is a 1 seed. All of this, they lost to Texas in the championship in the Big 12 by like less than 5 points. All of this to get a 4 seed. And and they have Cade Cunningham, who's going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft this year. So I am just very confused by this.
Might be the best player in the league in college basketball this year.
He's up there. He's definitely top 3, maybe top 5, you could say. So they're a 4 seed. And I was actually texting one of my buddies, and I'm like, they're really playing themselves into a 2 seed. If you look at their schedule, they beat a Texas Tech. They beat West Virginia twice, all in the last 10 games. They beat Baylor. And West Virginia is a 3 seed. You know, like, I could easily have seen them just flip. You know, So I am just shocked that they're a 4 seed. And they got a matchup of Liberty, who is 23-5 on the year. They beat 2 SEC opponents in South Carolina and Mississippi State. So those are SEC Power 5 conference teams. Only lost to 9 by Missouri, who was a 4 seed, I believe, this year. Or maybe they're in the tournament. I actually don't know the seed. They're a 9 seed. They were top 10 in the country at one point. Lost only to 9 by them. So they have a tough opponent in Liberty. And if they win that, they're set up with Tennessee, who's very tough. So I think they kind of got screwed in this seeding, EJ.
Well, my issue here, though, is that I don't know that they are better than any of the other 3 seeds. They're certainly not a 2 or a 1, okay? They're not better than Ohio State. They're not better than Iowa. They're not better than Bama. They're not better than Houston, okay? So the highest that I have them going is a 3 spot. I think they would have made a lot more sense in the East. I think they should have been a 3 seed over Kansas. I think Kansas turned it on too little, too late. They didn't perform well in their conference championship. Didn't they have COVID hit and they had to miss?
COVID screwed. Which isn't on them, but I know what you mean.
Right, but yeah. I don't believe that they're a better team than Oklahoma State. I also don't believe that Arkansas is a better team than Oklahoma State. I do think that Oklahoma and Texas, you know, perform very well in the Big 12 championship. So if I'm going to put them up anywhere, I'll make them a 3 seed, maybe above an Arkansas or a Kansas. I certainly think they're above Kansas. Arkansas put together a pretty decent year, though. So I'll agree with you in a sense. I think that the problem with the seeding here is that there's only 2-3 seeds that might be better than them. And you know, I'll defer to you here on your opinion the rest of the way. But there are people that make these decisions that know a lot more about basketball than both you and I. And I think the 4 seed is an appropriate place. I do think that they should have been in that 3 spot, maybe in front of Kansas. I'll say that.
So, EJ, I actually just mentioned this. I don't know if you didn't. They should be over West Virginia, who is the other 3 seed.
Virginia.
Are they a 3 seed?
West Virginia is a 3 seed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know, though, that I think
they beat them twice. Right to the end, and they beat West Virginia twice, which is my big thing. Like, you beat this team twice. I mean, like, that just proves right there. And
but you've also lost the teams that West Virginia's beat.
I mean, yeah, but then they split with Kansas twice. They swept Oklahoma. They beat Baylor. Like, and Texas Tech, that resume right there.
I'll agree with you.
No, I know you agree.
I think West Virginia is deserving of a 3 seed, though. I just
do too, but
they should have been above Kansas or Arkansas. I like West Virginia as a 3 here. They make a lot of sense down in that bottom half of the bracket.
Yeah, that's just my beef, and I still think Oklahoma State's making a Sweet 16 run. We'll get into our brackets for tomorrow. I have them in the Sweet 16, losing to Illinois eventually. But yeah, it's just that was kind of weird to me that they were that low. I literally thought they were almost gonna be a 2 seed, If they would have beat Texas in the Big 12 tournament championship game, they would have been a 3 or a 2 even.
I think if they beat Texas, Texas is out and they go in that spot.
Honestly, pretty – yeah. Because Texas – or is Texas a – I haven't memorized these seeds. There are 3. Yeah, okay. That's the other 3. Yeah. So what's your hot seat, EJ?
Yeah, so my hot seat this week goes to the New Orleans Saints and that BS deal that they gave to their backup quarterback. And let's – all the respect in the world goes to Drew Brees, announced his retirement this week. Congratulations
on
a great career.
Love Drew Brees.
One of the greats. I also love the fact that once he went to New Orleans, he was wearing the same colors he was when he was at Purdue. I thought that was very fitting, too.
It's pretty cool. It's the accent.
Between his time in San Diego and his time – in New Orleans, he's been a top performer the entire time. But I'm going to talk about Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill is not a 4-year, $140 million a year man. And those of you that are listening just go, oh, okay, EJ. Well, it's not a true $140 million deal. That's right. It's probably getting closer to like 5 to 7 a year after incentives for backup quarterback, which is about the going rate. And it's appropriate pay for a guy that brings to the table what he does. I hate on paper that you're able to write a 4-year, $140 million contract to just clear what was like $7.33 million in cap space for just this season. I hate that the contract looks the way that it does. I hate that it got the headline that it does, and I hate that it's going to get the attention that it does. This seems like, and Tyler, I know we were just talking about, we don't really swear on the show, it's a bullshit contract. I don't like the way that this is written because it's not a real $140 million deal. And this guy forever is going to be able to say, well, I remember signing a 4-year, $140 million deal. And he's going to get to take that to the negotiating table. You can try to pick it apart, but he gets to take that to the table now. He's a $140 a year man or $140 million man. Taysom Hill's not worth that. He's one of my favorite gadget players in the history of the NFL. He can bring so much to the table between returning punts, lining up a wideout, running the football, and passing it. He did step in a few games last year, and I believe he started a couple and did good. Played pretty well. I like Taysom Hill. My buddies and I that listen to this show, I'll just get a quick shout-out to Taysom Cheadle. You know who you are. That's a joke for the boys. But it's a joke between Taysom Hill and Donnie Cheadle. But Taysom Cheadle, shout out, you know who you are. But I just don't like that the Saints can write that contract the way that they can and free up that much cap space. It's garbage. It's junk.
Yeah, I just read it actually. They freed like 7.5 million cap space by like doing this crazy contract or however they did it, and like it's all voidable apparently, which Adam Schefter tweeted. So that does that mean that like they can just cut him at any time and not owe him anything? I think that's pretty much what that means, right? Like, there's so much.
And they guaranteed him some money, but it is all avoidable. That was the other part that bothered me. How's that a contract if it's all avoidable? That's not a contract. It's like an IOU.
Exactly. So, like, the NFL has so many, like, it's like the ins and outs of contracts are so weird. And, like, I've kind of looked into that more this year because it's always, like, a player can earn up to this much. You know, you have to look at all the incentives and all, like, literally everything. Like, there's so much that goes into it. You know, it's like
this contract's all incentives, though.
Pretty much, and like the incentives have to be pretty low because he doesn't really do much of, like, he does little of everything. You know, so like, I don't know what. Like,
well, I'm thinking the opposite. I think the incentives have to be outrageous for him to make that $140 million.
Oh, he'll never make that much. No. But I'm saying, like,
well, he shouldn't.
He's a backup quarterback.
He signed a contract. It's possible. I don't think his skill set would allow it, but it's. If you sign that contract, he's got the ability to make every one of those dollars.
Right. So theoretically, so he's a backup quarterback that throws like less than 15 times a year. So what do you think his like incentive is on passing yards? This is like a joke. Like,
no, like I get it. He's not going to get 25 passing attempts a game.
A year.
Or he might a year.
No.
He did it. He did it between a couple games this year.
He barely did it.
He did it.
I'm going to look it up. You blabber. I'm looking.
There's nothing more for me to elaborate on. My issue with this contract is that you can put on paper that it's a 4-year, $140 million a year deal, but it's not a 4-year, $140 million deal. It's a $5-7 million deal. It's garbage the way that they get to present this to the fans. It's great for Taysom Hill that he can say that he's a $140 million man, but it's not a true $140 million a year contract. I don't like the way that this was presented. The hot seat, and the reason I put the Saints on the hot seat, I get that you're freeing up cap space, but this is a BS way to structure a deal.
100% you're right, you're right. He has way more passing attempts because I forgot Breeze was hurt.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. He had an older.
I know 100. I was right. I'm always right.
I'm saying the years before he had 6 and 7. That's what I was
thinking.
That's
fair.
Yeah, that's what I forgot Breeze was out because of his lungs or whatever, punctured ribs. He was.
Well, and here's the thing, too. He's coming into a situation where it looks like Jameis Winston might be your starter.
They signed him for a year.
I know.
Which is like.
But I don't think that they're not fully committed there yet. Look for the Saints to possibly trade up and maybe take one of these younger quarterbacks.
That's always an option.
I could see them taking a guy like. Maybe not a Justin Fields. I could see like a Mac Jones here, a Southern guy in that Louisiana, that New Orleans area, and I'm going to call that area the South. There are a lot of Tigers fans, but there's just as many Crimson Tide fans. So I could see a guy like Mac Jones going to New Orleans and Saints fans gravitating to him. I don't know that he's the answer for the future, but even if Jameis is the guy that they go with, Taysom Hill is going to get his snaps because Jameis is so unpredictable. On the offensive side, what did he have? What was he the first?
40-40.
He's the first 40-40 guy, 40 touchdowns, 40 picks.
40 interceptions.
I mean, he still threw for 5,000 yards, which is something to be said. But a 40-40 guy, you know that he's going to make mistakes, and that's where Taysom Hill can come in and eliminate the ability to make some of those mistakes by bringing him in those gadget situations, those third and fifths, those third and shorts, maybe even a first and long. You don't know what he's going to do. Taysom Hill is such a multi-use player, and he's one of my favorite guys. I'd love to have him on the Browns because he's a great gadget guy and he does so many different things for you and he's a very selfless player. I just don't like the contracts.
All right. I have a emergency hot seat that I just thought
emergency
of.
Hot seat. Go.
Just a quick one. It's about football. You're going to laugh at this. I don't know how we didn't think about this. Yeah. So originally only thought of two. We always do three. Andy Dalton with the Bears. Can we talk about the Bears? What the hell?
At least it's a 1 year ten. Was it 1 year $10 million deal?
Yeah, but like that's like going to be their starting quarterback. I think it's going to be him, Trubisky or Foles.
Which is look at the statistics. The statistics show that you're better off with Mitchell Trubisky than Andy Dalton in this last season.
I just don't know. Like the rumors.
I'll agree. It's a hot seat.
The rumors Bears. Before that, like literally, like. The day before, like, oh, we're getting Russell Wilson, and now, or Wilson or Watson, and now we just signed Andy Dalton.
But that could also still be a backup deal. $10 million is a going rate for a decent backup.
They could either trade for Watson still.
It's not starter money.
No, it's not, but, like, they could either trade for Watson. The Saints did announce, or not, sorry, we're just talking about the Saints. The Seahawks announced that they aren't trading Wilson. The Texans could still trade Watson. So that could still happen. Or I was thinking the Bears might trade up from the 20th draft pick, take a younger guy. They literally just need a quarterback with a brain, really, with that defense. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
anyone, like. And I'm fine with you saying that about Trubisky because as a graduate of Solon High School, I don't like Mitch because he went to Mentor. That's a joke for the Clevelanders listening here. Mentor Cardinal, we don't like him. Okay. Solon Comets all the way. Screw Mentor. So Mitch Trubisky is not on my hot list here. And he only spent 1 year at North Carolina, barely making it.
Yeah, so that's just my like last second hot seat that I literally thought of. I don't know how we did, but Andy Dalton's like going to be their answer, and maybe he somehow he's been such the mediocre quarterback, and I thought he was going to do a lot better with Dallas. I thought he was going to do a lot better with Dallas and his opportunity when Dak was out, but he did not do anything. At all. So the Bears, I don't know, man. I really don't know. And I'll tell you one thing.
I agree, bad contract.
The
well, actually, good contract, bad signing.
Bad player, yeah. The NFC quarterbacks are Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff, Andy Dalton, and Kirk Cousins. Have you ever, like, in your last – if you heard that 2 years ago, would you have, like, been like – you know what I mean? Like, would you have thought that was a possibility, those four quarterbacks in the same division?
Honestly, when it comes to the NFC North, nothing surprises me. Yup. I mean, Minnesota paid Kirk Cousins a ton of money. The Bears traded up to grab Mitch Trubisky at 2 when he shouldn't have been a 2. I think the Browns took Myles Garrett 1 overall.
They traded up.
Yeah, that was the year. That was the year the Browns took Myles Garrett 1 overall because the only thing that I would have been mad about is that they took Mitchell Trubisky 1 because I didn't want him.
The Bears traded up when they didn't have to. Like, they traded, you know what I mean? Like, it was the 49ers.
The Niners ended up taking Solomon Thomas.
Yes, and they were good. not say.
And there was no need to trade up.
No,
because they were looking for a defensive tackle.
Yeah, it was just a bad. And like Trubisky, I honestly don't mind him. It just makes the most he's like Jameis almost, but like in ways, like just dumb plays, picks that just can't throw. I don't know. Anyway,
dumb plays, dumb things. That's what gets us mad. That's why they're all on
the hot seat. Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
So we're going to move on from that. I think we had just about touched on almost everything NFL we want to. Actually, let's just do this real quick. Couple other big signings. Trent Williams re-signed with the San Francisco 49ers, is now the highest paid offensive lineman of all time. I think I saw a 5-year, $100-something million deal. Tyler's pulling it up right now. But Trent Williams, as some of you may remember,
$138 million.
Highest.
That's a shit ton of money. That's
highest paid offensive lineman of all time. Some of you may remember he was a holdout for the Washington Redskins, as they were known at the time. Did not play for the Washington football team. Got moved to San Francisco and has since signed this big contract. Congratulations to him. He's one of the best offensive linemen in the league. I didn't like the way that he held out against Washington. I thought that as well as he's played for them and how they've paid him, that he should have given them a little bit more respect than holding out to the way that he did. Didn't care for that, but he signed today. Any thoughts on Trent Williams' contract? Nothing?
No, it's a good signing. He's obviously one of the better linemen in the league. Might be
arguably the best left tackle in the league.
Exactly. That's an extremely important position.
Best left tackle. Side. Best left tackle of all time, Joe Thomas. Go Browns.
Yes, that is very true. That's the Niners, and that's huge, especially because they're probably moving on from Jimmy G. So if they're going to get a rookie quarterback or try to get a quarterback in free agency or whatever they're going to do, they need someone to protect that quarterback, especially if it's a rookie. That's a huge thing for the protect that guy's future. As you saw, Joe Burrow, who got hurt, they didn't have linemen. So it's a very big move and a good move for San Fran.
Final question that I have for you, Ty, and we'll get on with the NFL. A two-parter here. Do Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson get moved on this year? I think that the Texans will be stubborn and hold on to him, but I don't actually think Russell Wilson ever really had a shot of moving on from Seattle. Can New Orleans take him? Can he go to some of these other teams he was interested in? The Raiders, are they looking? I know they still got Derek Carr.
I don't think Wilson gets traded. Watson's going to be moved. I do agree that the Texans have been holding out, but he's literally not going to play for them. And, like, he's not playing for the Houston Texans ever again. Thank you, Abby, very much. The GM just gave us some more
St. Paddy's Day special.
St. Paddy's Day special, yep. But, Wilson's going to stay put. And Watson will be traded. I really don't know where. I heard San Fran. He wants to go to San Fran. He does. It was them and one other team were his top two options. They're moving
to
on.
To Deshaun?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They're moving on from Jimmy G. Jimmy G's down there, I think. And I don't know where he's going to go or what he's doing, but they want someone else instead of Jimmy G. I don't think they trust
him. Bring him to Cleveland.
They just don't trust him with injuries. And, you know, he's been good when he plays, but he just doesn't play enough. So, no,
I don't think he'll work in Cleveland. I do believe that Baker Mayfield right now with the team that we have is the best quarterback in place. I'll say that.
Oh, he's gonna stay there for a while. Baker's staying for a while, but so that kind of does the NFL talk.
March Madness.
It's March.
Let's get into the madness here.
I'm so excited, DJ. We're just kind of, to be honest, we're just gonna go through the bracket a little, talk about some upsets, and it's gonna be going.
Okay. So let's look at the playing games real quick. I'll give you my four. I got App State over Norfolk. I got Wichita State over Drake. Mount St. Mary's beating Texas Southern. I got Michigan State beating UCLA. Any arguments there?
I agree with App State. App State's actually pretty good. They should be better than 16. I have Drake.
Yeah, I think so too.
I've watched App State a couple times this year because I have money on them a lot, and they're good. They're good. I don't know why they're in the playoff game. I'm taking Drake over Wichita. Wichita has been struggling lately. Drake's getting their best player back. That'll be a good game, actually. Mount St. Mary's, Texas Southern, I have no clue on any of these
teams. I'm just picking a name.
I'm picking Texas Southern. The winner of that plays Michigan round one, so I will be watching. UCLA, Michigan State, I got UCLA. Late night game, I got UCLA.
And that's probably the best of the plans.
By far, and it's going to get the most views. Michigan State, those are two blue bloods, so by far the best game, and it's the latest. It's going to be a 10 p.m. tip-off. So, not a bad first four slate. I mean, the App State, Norfolk might be a good game, to be honest. The one game, Mount St. Mary's, Texas Southern, don't know anything. I know Texas Southern was, like, just in the tournament. like last time the tournament, like 2 years ago. So that's all I know about them. I know they're playing Michigan though. So
yeah, upsets. We're gonna look at Gonzaga against the winner of Norfolk Appalachian State. Oklahoma 8 plays Missouri 9. Creighton 5. University of California Santa Barbara 12. Virginia against the Ohio University Bobcats. Virginia's the 4. Ohio's 13. University of South California, Southern California, USC 6 plays the winner of Wichita State. Drake was an 11. Kansas 3. Eastern Washington 4. Eastern Washington being a 14 seed is most well known for their red turf on their football field.
Yes, just like Boise.
If you didn't
blue.
Know that. Oregon, VCU, that's a 7-10 matchup. Oregon on top. And then Iowa versus Grand Canyon University. My boy Bob Rosenfeld. Go Lopes. I got Bob didn't go there, but Bob and I no.
He's so a good guy.
Well, here's the thing though. We have a certain affection for the Lopes. Okay. And what was it? Right, I think it was last basketball season or the year before. Bob and I were sitting here at Mosley. We were watching a basketball game, and it was Syracuse versus Grand Canyon University. It was in Arizona. GCU was at home, and they gave Syracuse a run for the money. They didn't end up winning, but I was stationed in Arizona in my military days for a while. I'm familiar with Grand Canyon University, but Go Lopes has become kind of a comical thing to my buddy Bob and I. I'm going to root for the Lopes here. I don't think they beat Iowa, but Tyler, out of these matchups we'll break down this going into the second round here. Who's give me two or three upsets here? What do you got?
Yeah. So this is the West region. I guess we'll go region by region, kind of. I mean, honestly,
well, here's the thing: isn't it actually the West? Because there's like West is just this side, and then South is this. Oh no, that's sorry. That's there's West, East. I'm seeing it now.
Yeah.
Read my background. I've done this before. I run a pool every year. I know how to read.
Yeah.
I'm making sure you knew how to. Good job.
Right. In the West, I honestly don't. Think I have an upset in the first round. In the second, I have some things shaking up. But honestly, Zag is going to win, obviously. I have Oklahoma over Missouri. That's the 8-9. Creighton just lost in the Big East Championship. They're going to win. Virginia's beating Ohio. That's going to be a good game, though.
That's a tougher game than Ohio, it looks, because Virginia hasn't been playing well, just come off COVID.
Yep, Ohio out of the MAC has not been playing. Ohio's been playing good.
If I were to pick the biggest upset of the first round, I think that that's it. I think Ohio beating UVA is probably the biggest potential upset of the first round.
And it seems like Virginia is always a popular pick to lose in the first round. Always. No matter what, Virginia's like, oh, that's easy to go against. They got USC against Wichita State or Drake. I like USC a lot. They have Evan Mobley, who is a top three draft pick coming up a big.
That. Right there is my upset. I got Wichita State beating Drake. I got Wichita State taking down USC
the Shockers.
Here. They've played very, very well in previous tournaments. I remember watching them, and the name was Isaac Cannon or Cannon was the kid's name when they made their big run.
Yep.
I think they were an 11 seed that year. But ever since then, I've been paying attention to Wichita State, and ever since that happened, Wichita State's been making noise in every tournament. I'm going to take this as my 11-6 upset in the West region.
Yeah, they got to win that first game. They could. And that'll be a really good. Both the 11 seed games for the first four, Drake, Wichita, and then State and UCLA, are going to be very good tomorrow night. Very, very good.
Drake has run a great program as of late, but Wichita State has more longevity over the last 5 to 10 years of consistent tournament success. I don't know who sponsors Drake's uniforms, but I know that Wichita State's wearing Nike, and Nike doesn't just hand those check marks out, you know, over nothing. I'm taking Wichita State here in the upset. I got them in the playoff game, or excuse me, playing game, and I got them over USC.
Yeah, so
I just like them.
I got you. Then Oregon's beating, Kansas is beating Eastern Washington. Oregon is beating VCU. Iowa's beating Grand Canyon. And we have Will here, who's from Arizona, and he was telling me before the season started that Grand Canyon.
Colopes?
Grand Canyon is a very good basketball program because I believe in Arizona there's only 3 D1. It's Arizona, Arizona State, and Grand Canyon. So a lot of those kids that they grow to
Grand
Canyon.
That's correct.
Yes. So Will was telling me about those guys, and they're now in the tournament. But yeah, Iowa's going to be way, way too overpowering there. But that kind of wraps up the East first or the Western first round. I'm going to go to the East. Is that okay, AJ? I'll talk about some of the
Run it.
Will do.
Run it!
So we got Michigan against the winner of Mount St. Mary's, Texas Southern. I'll just give you my picks to each really quick. You know, Michigan's winning that game. LSU was going to beat St. Bonaventure.
That's a tougher game
than
people realize. But yep. I agree. I think LSU played Alabama very well in the SEC championship game. In fact, I thought LSU might take down Alabama. I thought Alabama.
They were winning a lot.
I thought Alabama winning that game though was going to be better for the tournament than if LSU won, because I thought Alabama had that shot at really winning that two seed. Alabama's going to make some noise here, but this is a very, very strong LSU team. St. Bonaventure, very good. I have LSU here as well.
LSU is going to be a big threat to Michigan, too, in that second round when they meet
Agreed.
Up. It's going to be scary as a Michigan fan. Moving on to Colorado-Georgetown, a lot of people are going to want Georgetown. They're the Cinderella story, Patrick Ewing.
They're hot.
Unreal how they made the tournament. Winning in the Big East, incredible. Beat Nova, beat Creighton. They beat all the top dogs, and they won 8 of their last 10 games or something. They were bad. They were really
bad.
The
Nova win gives them a big leg up going into the tournament.
Yeah, so they're playing Colorado, but I still have Colorado. I think this is going to be a popular let's pick Georgetown because they're hot. Colorado has McKinley Wright, who is one of the better players in college basketball history. His statistics are unreal, actually, and no one really knows about him. It's weird. He's a senior, I believe. I watched them a lot. Colorado is going to win this game. Florida State's going to beat UNC Greensboro. Florida State.
I got both those as well.
Very athletic team. BYU is beating Michigan State or UCLA.
No.
Yeah, yes, they are. Explain why, EJ.
I don't believe that BYU is as good as they've looked. I don't believe that they play in a difficult enough conference, whereas Michigan State has had to go up against – all these other Big Ten teams entering here, Michigan, Ohio State, Illinois, Iowa, Purdue, Rutgers. Big Ten was definitely the best champion or the best conference in basketball this year. If there's one thing that I'm willing to bet on when it comes to bracketology, it's that I bet on Izzo in March. I'm going to take Michigan State to upset BYU. I'm also going to take them to upset Texas, and I understand that that's a ballsier pick, but if there's anybody that I'm willing to bet on as an underdog in March, give me Tom Izzo.
It's really going to suck when they don't even win tomorrow night. Anyway.
That's okay, though, because guess what? Even if I'm wrong, I still got UCLA there, and they've had a great program, one of the greatest basketball programs of all time. I'll still take UCLA to make a run against Texas.
Anyway, so, yeah, Texas is going to be Elvion Christian. Yeah, easily Texas has been playing very well lately. Just won the Big 12 championship. They've been hot.
A good program.
Very good. Yeah, they always have Shaka Smart there.
Star players, Kevin Durant.
Shaka Smart, Aldridge, we just talked about in the last pod.
Yep.
Smart, you were just talking about VCU and those runs. Mm-hmm. He's at Texas now. Then we got UConn over Maryland, and UConn is going to be a
tough pick.
It is. UConn is going to be a team that's going to shock people this year. They have James Bilkenite, who's going to be a top 20 to 15 pick in the NBA draft. He can score the basketball. They have very good players. UConn's back. I'm just going to say this.
You going UConn then?
Yes, 100%. UConn is back. Dude.
I'm going to take the Big Ten. I'm going Maryland.
They got Bobby Hurley. One of the Hurleys, Bobby and what's the other one? There's two Hurley
I don't know
brothers.
The others. All I know is that in this tournament, I'm taking a lot of Big Ten teams because it was such a gauntlet of a conference to go through this year. I believe that UConn's good. I just think that Maryland is going to have the edge based on the level of competition they had to play this year.
That's a good point. It's Dan Hurley. Dan Hurley is UConn. Bob is Arizona State. I get those mixed up all the time.
I'm Hurley.
Yes. And then we got...
Well, you know what? Let's do this.
We got a shot.
Here. We got another shot. We're going to be Hurlin after these.
Maybe
it's
you.
It's St. Paddy's Day.
Maybe you.
I'm a trained professional.
And then Bama's beating Iona. That's an interesting though. Pinto is back.
I all I know is Alabama was the team for me, and I know we talked about here. It's like all of a sudden you looked at the top 10 and boom, there they were sitting at 8. Holy cow, have they put together a nice year. You have to correct some things. Avery Johnson's not your coach anymore.
I did say that.
Tyler, you did catch me and Scott slipping there, but he. And I will say this, Avery Johnson does deserve a lot of credit for bringing this Alabama Crimson Tide basketball program to the place that it is now, where they're competing for SEC championships, winning the SEC tournament title, and I believe the SEC regular season title, beating a very, very good blue blood program, as you say, in Kentucky. I think Alabama's going to be a much noisier team than people think. And I'm going to show you what I mean later on as we get through this. But I'm going to move us up to the South region real quick. Tyler, you got anything else to add on Alabama? I'll give you last word.
They're good. Okay. That's all I have to add. Herb Jones is very good.
So we're looking at the South region now. We got Baylor, Hartford. I don't think anybody's got Baylor losing that game. Wisconsin, North Carolina. I actually don't think North Carolina has a lot of business in this tournament. I know that Roy Williams is a great coach. I have Wisconsin going past here.
I'm going to disagree very strongly.
I have Wisconsin going past them here. Again, based on the same reason that I'm choosing Maryland, the level of talent that they've played this year, the ACC has been weak. I don't know that North Carolina is what they've been in the past, but I know that Wisconsin typically plays good basketball when it comes to March.
I'm just going to say Wisconsin is the most overrated team literally in the country this year. They somehow stay ranked. They were
probably
like 17-12 or 17-13 on the year, which is a horrible record. I am very against Wisconsin this year. I think North Carolina – this was – when I saw this dropped, like this matchup, this was the most sure
– this is probably the most interesting matchup of the first round.
This is the most sure I've been on an 8-9 pick in my life. That North Carolina, I'm gonna say, that's a hot take. North Carolina is gonna win by maybe 20.
Hot take or a hot seat?
Ooh, it's gonna be hot.
You want to place a wager on this?
I will. It's gonna be a hot seat if I'm wrong.
Okay, so I'm gonna take Wisconsin. You're gonna take North Carolina. What's the bet?
A couple drinks, probably.
A pitcher of beer. Yeah. I got Wisconsin. Tyler's got North Carolina. Virtual shake.
We'll just shake right
it's
now.
On the, we got it. The listeners got notes. A virtual shake.
Okay.
It's on the air. It's live. It's signed, sealed, delivered. Wisconsin, North Carolina. I like pitcher that. Beer.
Keep going.
So then we've got Villanova versus Winthrop, Purdue versus North Texas, Texas Tech, Utah State, Arkansas, Colgate, Florida, Virginia Tech, Ohio State, Oral Roberts. I've got Nova here. I think that they got the wrong end of the deal against Georgetown. I don't think that Georgetown's a better team than Villanova. I think Villanova might be the best 5 seed in the country. Purdue, I got them over North Texas. I got my boy Mac McClung in Texas Tech over Utah State. Utah State did put together a nice run in the Mountain West tournament. Arkansas, they've been in and out of talent all year. They've got some really good players, but they haven't been able to stay healthy all year, so I don't really like Arkansas here. I'm going to go Virginia Tech over Florida just because I like the program and the way that the Hokies have been putting together that program over the last couple of years. I'm saying last 2-3 seasons. They've really made some noise in the ACC, competing for – not fully competing for an ACC title, but they're relevant in the ACC. And Virginia Tech's been
very
doing,
much so.
They've been doing a good job since their football program has declined. Their basketball program has improved. I like a Virginia Tech in this game as a 10 seed over a 7 seed Florida, and I got to take my Buckeyes Ohio State over Oral Roberts. However, I will say this. If there's a 15 seed that's going to beat a 2 this year, Oral Roberts does has the potential to beat my Buckeyes based on one thing and one thing alone, and that's that the Buckeyes have not been playing good basketball as of late. I think that they really exceeded expectations by taking Illinois to overtime in the Big Ten championship game. I have Ohio State winning here, but if a 15 is going to beat a 2 this year, I'm going to take Oral Roberts because I think Ohio State will underperform.
You know what the crazy thing is? I thought you were going to say it for a different reason. The other reason I would say that is because Oral Roberts has a leading scorer in the country this year. His name is Marcus Abrams.
But they don't play anyone.
Max Abrams, 24 points, which is really low for the scoring average in the country. 24 only. Hey, I watched him play before. I watched him in the
– What's college ball? You don't get guys that average 30 points at all.
You do. I mean, Jimmer – like
you maybe have 5.
Yeah, but usually there's someone that's like even like over 25. You know, that's kind of low, but he
– No one's really blown this year out of the water.
Right.
The kid that has given me the most woohoo was it Cunningham? That kid at Oklahoma State.
Yep. But, yeah, so, EJ, Oral Roberts has a very – I don't think they have a very good chance still of upsetting Ohio State here. I would love to see that happen as a Michigan fan, obviously. But as you went down, Baylor's obviously going to win. Like, we have that wager on North Carolina. You're going to owe me a pitcher of beer. It's going to be awesome. Winthrop-Villanova is an interesting matchup. That is the late game on Friday night, I believe. I have Winthrop in this game, actually. Winthrop likes to crash the boards very strong. Nova is out without their probably their part of their team, Colin Gillespie, knee injury that happened right before the Big East tournament. Major, major loss. And they haven't really been playing like they usually do without him. I don't know. It's going to be a tough game. And I love how it's a late game because there's going to be a lot of people picking Winthrop, I feel like, and they're going to have to wait to watch that game on Friday night. But Nova, you know, they always seem to figure it out. So that's going to be a very, very interesting matchup. That Purdue is going to beat North Texas fairly easily. I believe North Texas is not that bad, though. Texas Tech is going to beat Utah State. Mac McClung is going to lead them. I have Texas Tech going pretty far, actually, Sweet 16 range. Arkansas is going to beat Colgate. Fun fact about Colgate, they score the most points in the country as a team. I think it's like over 85. They just shoot the ball like crazy. I don't care who they play. That's a lot of points. The over is going to hit in that game. Florida Virginia Tech, 7-10 matchup. Very interesting. I have Florida against your Virginia Tech. They've been playing pretty well lately. Trey Mann is a very, very good guard for them who's was out for a little bit, but he's back playing well. And obviously Ohio State's going to be Oral Roberts. So that kind of sums up the East.
Yeah, that's the South. That was the South.
Yeah, that was
Let's go to the Midwest. Tyler, give me what you got here.
Illinois over Drexel, easy. 8-9 matchup, Georgia Tech, Loyola, Chicago. Very good matchup. Very good matchup, Georgia Tech. Easy Georgia Tech. They have ACC Player of the Year, Moses Brown. He's a big guy for Georgia Tech who's been insane lately. No one knows about Georgia Tech. They have a senior guard, Jose Alvarado. I think they win this game very easily. I think they're underdogs with the spread. They're going to win easily. Easily.
What I like about this matchup is that, yes, COVID uncontested games allowed Georgia Tech to make it as far as they did in the ACC tournament this year. But still, that confidence of making that kind of a run.
Yeah, they won it against Florida State, which is a four seed, which is.
But making that run, Georgia Tech's on a hot streak, unless Sister Mary's coming with Loyola again.
She actually is.
Is she really?
I literally saw
Sister Mary's gonna be the
like yesterday or did this morning that they like are letting her go somehow and like she like because they were like people were complaining.
Just put her in a bubble like Bubble Boy.
Yeah, literally.
Protect save Sister Mary.
You have to do that. But yeah, like you were saying, that confidence at Georgia Tech beating Florida State, who is a like you said, 4-seed, very good team in the ACC championship. That's insane. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I'll say this: if Sister Mary does show up, I may scratch out Georgia Tech and take Loyola.
But you might have to, man. I'm just going to say this right now.
I do like Georgia Tech in this game.
I'm just going to say this right now. Michigan beat Loyola in the Final Four that year. So they ended the Cinderella run.
To win the title? Eat it.
Villanova's good, man.
Okay, so we're Tennessee, Oregon State. This is an interesting 5-12 matchup.
Oregon State was like plus like 1,000 to win the – They were horrible this year, and they won the Pac-12 tournament somehow, and they're somehow in this tournament. Tennessee's going to win this game. Tennessee has, like, two draft picks in this draft. They have Jaden Springer, freshman, Kyle Pons, or something Pons, who's very good. They're going to win.
This is my second big upset special. I'm going to take OK State here. Oregon State here over Tennessee. I don't think that the SEC was as good as a conference as they typically have been. You know, usually – Kentucky, LSU, Alabama, Vanderbilt's usually okay. LSU, Alabama, those teams are decent. The SEC's been – Florida's always good. They've been more – Georgia as of late, too, they've been decent. I think that this is a good year for teams playing the SEC. I think the SEC's very depleted this year. I don't know that I like Tennessee's lineup. Yes, they have NBA talent, but Oregon State – coming off Big 12 tournament victory, I'm going to take them as an upset 12 over the 5.
Honestly, I don't mind that. The SEC hasn't been that good this year. I could see that happening. It would be cool. Oregon State and Georgetown are two teams that had literally no chance of making the tournament.
But they did it.
And like Power 5.
All you got to do is go dancing.
Exactly. It's pretty wild that those two made it.
Who is it?
They really screwed, like, Louisville.
University of Maryland, Boston County Terriers. The only 16 seed to ever beat a 1 seed. They were 16, beat the number 1 Virginia Cavaliers.
3 years ago.
If that's proven anything, it's that anybody can be beaten when it comes time to go dancing. And I like conference tournament champions because you have momentum going into the tournament. Again, I'm sticking with Oregon here. Oregon State.
All right, so moving down, San Diego State against Syracuse. A lot of people have Syracuse with the upset as the 11th seed here.
We both have Oklahoma State beating Liberty.
Oh, I skipped that. Sorry. Yeah, we already talked about that.
I have Oklahoma State.
Yeah, easy.
What I was, and you know what? I also find this kind of cool. You're going to have O State versus O State if they both win. I think that that's kind of cool too. And they're both the same colors.
Orange. Yes.
Dare I say Eskimos colors? Eskimos,
Ezra and Moe's. Yes, yes. Let's see, moving on. San Diego State is going to beat Syracuse. San Diego State or the Mountain West. They're good. They can score. They have multiple scorers. The thing is, these teams, they see a Syracuse out of the ACC. That's an easy pick as an upset, but, like, no one watches these teams, and I've watched San Diego State multiple times, and they are very good.
I've watched them with you.
They are not a bad basketball team. The Aztecs are going to beat Syracuse, and this is going to be a close game. A lot of people are going to pick the 11 seed as the upset. It's just not going to happen. Moving down to West Virginia.
I'm going to disagree with you here.
Oh, you think Syracuse is going to win?
Based on one thing and one thing only.
Coaching.
Coaching. I think Jim Boeheim, and his son's on the team, if I remember correctly.
Buddy Boeheim, and he's good.
He's good.
Not just on the team.
He's not just a coach's kid. He's a player.
He was the first 2 years. This year, he's been unreal. He drops, like, he's been going – he's been hot lately, too. But, yeah, continue. He's in coaching.
I like Jim Boeheim here. Syracuse has far more tournament experience than San Diego State. I do like the Aztecs program. I think that they've done a wonderful job building that up. They've done great. They have some pretty notable alumni, but I think that mostly alumni I can think of is on the football side, though. I think that San Diego State isn't to that point today where they're going to take down a well-coached Jim Boeheim, Syracuse Orangeman. I'm going to take Syracuse here for two reasons, coaching and gut check.
I almost want to make another bet here, but we already have one on the big one.
I'm not betting on that game.
We're not betting on this. We already have our big bet.
I'll bet the Wisconsin North Carolina.
We already did. That's a fun one. Yes. All right, so moving on from that. That'll be a good game, though. That's a very good game. West Virginia, Morehead State, 3-14. West Virginia's winning that game. We can agree on that. Rutgers-Clemson is going to be a damn good game, and it's going to be a low-scoring game. I promise you this. Clemson D's up very well. They don't score the ball well.
Low-scoring. Give me a final.
Don't
predict the winner, but give me just a score.
61-56.
I think it could even be lower than that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Rutgers is gonna win. I have Rutgers in that game. I love Rutgers in this game. Geo Baker, Ron.
Rutgers for me.
I'm very excited to watch those guys play. And then Houston's beating Cleveland State. 2-15. Yep.
Don't you dare look at me when you say a team's gonna beat Cleveland State.
Oh, okay. I didn't even realize that.
Hey, Norris, I'll take the Holstein Center.
Norris Cole, Cleveland State.
Who was the kid? He played for the Miami Heat when they won a title.
Norris Cole.
That's not his first name.
Yes, it is. Norris Cole.
I don't think that's right.
I'm looking it up right now, and I'll show you a picture.
I don't think his first name is Norris, but Cole's the last name. But yeah, you know what? This is another game.
Norris Cole.
Okay, fine. I just don't know what I'm talking about. This is a game where I think that if a 2 seed can lose. Cleveland State, I believe they're in the Horizon League.
Yes, they are.
They've put together a very nice program as far as basketball goes. They're one of the best non-mid-major basketball programs in the country. They have lots of people that have gone to the NBA. They're not a bad program. They have NBA championship people in that program. I got Houston here, but if another 15 is going to beat a 2 – this is another potential spot. I don't think OSU actually has a real chance at losing to Oral Roberts. I do believe that there's a scenario where Cleveland State can beat Houston. I absolutely believe that.
All right, so that kind of wraps up the first round. What do you want to do here? Want to go in, like, the second round?
Okay, so here's what I want to do.
Because we're closing in on getting
to an hour. I don't want to go into the Sweet 16 because then I'm not going to feed people all the answers.
We can do that next week, too.
Here's what I'll ask right now. Who do you have in your final four? We'll get into Sweet 16 and more of this later. We'll break it down every week. we don't want to feed you our whole brackets because, you know, some of us are competing against each other. I run a bracket pool every year. Tyler does, so I know some of the listeners probably want to hear the rest of our brackets. We're not giving it to you, okay? Our brackets are going to stay our own, but I will give you my final four. Tyler, who do you got coming out of the West?
Gonzaga. Simple as that. I know you do, too, I believe. I mean, Gonzaga is the best team.
I do have Gonzaga.
Jalen Suggs is going to be a top three pick, the best point guard in the country behind Cunningham from Oklahoma State. Kispert, unreal. Timmy, their starting five is unreal. I got Gonzaga. I do. It's pretty simple. They do not have a hard path to the Final Four at all.
I disagree. They do have to go through a tough Iowa team.
But they already beat, though. They already beat them by, like, 15. They're beating Iowa, man. I'm sorry.
There's something different about when you play a team a second time. And if there's any team that helped prove that, it's my Buckeyes this year. I think Michigan got us all year. And then guess what? Tournament time, we got you by a point in what was a well-played game. It wasn't a bad game.
Without livers.
It wasn't cheeky.
That's without a huge, livers. Yes.
But it was a very good game. A well-played game. It could have went either way. Michigan still has enough talent without livers that they can still make a run at the title here.
Okay, I'm glad you say that because without livers, they haven't been horrible this year. And because he's played with – I'm glad you said that. Give me some because I think they can
still
make a run.
Don't make me fist bump Michigan again, though.
Yeah, I will never do that.
But. Michigan's the best team. Michigan is probably the most capable team to lose a guy like Livers and still be able to make a run at the title.
They have so many role players that are – yeah.
Yep. They do, but I'm going to go now, and this is where I'm going to go to my Midwest region. I have Illinois coming out here. I got Gonzaga up top with you, but I'm going to go Illinois coming out of the Midwest because, and I said this on other shows, I think that they're the hottest team in the Big Ten right now. They just put together a heck of a performance against Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. Ohio State did them a little bit of a favor by beating Michigan. I don't know if Michigan is as competitive in that game. I think Illinois really has done a great job of turning it on as of late. I think they have incredible talent on that team. So Gonzaga is going to come out of the West. I'm telling you that I got Illinois coming out of the Midwest. So we're going to mix our two here. I'll give you one pick. Let's see your South region. Who do you have in the Final Four?
No, the South, Baylor. Baylor. Yeah, I got Baylor beating Ohio State in the South. In the South. You were talking that Illinois was, like, in the same region as Michigan. You know they aren't, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. You were talking the Big Ten connection. Okay, I was – because the way
Ohio State did Illinois a favor by making the Big Ten championship in better situation for them by not having to play Michigan. I think Michigan might have beaten them. I didn't think my Ohio State Buckeyes were going to beat Illinois, but I'm very proud of the way that we played in that game, and I'm very happy that we went to overtime. Yes, I understand that Michigan – is in the East, and you have Illinois.
Okay.
I got it. And in fact, I've been saying this since probably about 2 weeks ago, this is still the first realistic chance that we have of seeing an all Big Ten Final Four. You can have Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, and Illinois in there. And if Illinois doesn't make it, Rutgers is still down there.
They're not making it. But
Michigan
I like
State's,
your-
11 seeds are naked. Michigan State has a chance, an 11 seed. And then you still have Maryland, a 10. You have Iowa, who's a 2. Ohio State's in there. Wisconsin's in there. This has a huge potential. This is probably, and I say this wholeheartedly before we get through the rest of our bracket, this is the first time in the history of the NCAA where I believe that you realistically have a shot of seeing an all-one conference Final Four. I don't know that I've ever seen that many teams ranked 1 and 2 across all four regions, okay? I got Illinois. I got Gonzaga. You have Baylor. Let you have that. And then I'm going to give you guys my East region, and this is going to be a very unpopular pick here. I'm taking Alabama. I think that they've been hot at the right time. I think that they played a great championship game against LSU. I really believe that they have a giant opportunity to prove themselves. They're a well-coached team. LSU played them tough the entire way. They got to go against a couple of teams that are really going to give them a hassle. I think Texas has the opportunity to really give them a hard time, but I do believe that Alabama is a better team there. Michigan and Florida State, though, are the other two teams that really could give them a hassle. I think Florida State was probably the best team in the ACC this year. I know other team won the championships. But Florida State has played probably the best college basketball out of any team in the ACC this year. I do believe that they have an incredible amount of talent. They're actually, I can't say what I'm going to say, but they're probably going to be one of the toughest contests for Michigan, who, again, is not going to have livers in this game. But Michigan has done a great job all year, end of the season unranked, worked their way up through the rankings. I love seeing what Juwan Howard has done, especially in this Big Ten tournament. I can't remember who they were playing against. I think it was Maryland. He felt like it was Maryland on record as the coach was threatening him. Got involved, got a little physical, tried to, air quotes, start a fight. Juwan Howard lighting that fire under the Michigan players' rear ends. I love seeing that, especially from a guy that's been a former pro. So Michigan and Florida State are probably the two biggest obstacles to Alabama moving on, but I do have them moving on here. So I think this is going to be an absolutely incredible year for college basketball. I think that the big teams to watch for, you know, Tyler and I gave you our final four with Gonzaga, Baylor, Alabama, and Illinois. So that's our combined final four here, but this is going to be an absolutely incredible season. This is going to be a March Madness for the books. And you know what? I'm just glad that we're going to have a March Madness because we didn't get one last year.
Yeah, EJ, you made some great points. That East region is going to be a lot of fun to watch. You know, Michigan, Florida State. And you have Alabama in the Final Four. I have Texas. That's another team, the three seed. I have Texas, the Longhorns, who have been hot off a big – you like you mentioned, you like conference champions, Big 12. They just won the Big 12 championship. They have – many very good, a lot of good players. So yeah, mine is Gonzaga, Texas, Baylor, Illinois. Yours is Gonzaga, Baylor, Illinois, and Alabama. What's up?
So that's going to wrap up our college basketball talk this week. Tyler, I know you got more to say. Breaking news, Patrick Peterson just signed a contract with the Minnesota Vikings. We're going to break that here, and I'm trying to pull it up.
The Vikings?
The Vikings. It just came across as I was sitting here. Three-time All-Pro cornerback Patrick Peterson agrees to a one-year, $10 million deal with the Minnesota Vikings. That's breaking live while you're here from Moe's Pub in Escanaba. I just want to drop that news, Tyler, real quick for our listeners. Do you have anything else that you want to add on March Madness? I don't want to get into our Sweet 16 yet. I would like to get into that a little next week, a little more to look forward to. We've got our final four out there. What we'll do next week, listeners, we'll predict our winners based off of this weekend. And then if any of those teams that aren't in the final four, we'll re-predict who we think is going to make it from there. We'll keep up to date here. I know your brackets might be busted coming into next week. Guess what? This is the best weekend of the year if you're a sports fan. Everybody loves March Madness. Tyler, you got anything else to add?
I'm just going to say, we could say we have winning. I'm going to say, because we both have Gonzaga. That's all I'm going to say right now.
I don't have Gonzaga winning the title.
Yeah, you do.
I do not have Gonzaga.
You have Illinois.
I have Illinois winning the title, and I'll break that right now. And the reason that I think that Illinois is going to win the title is because I believe that they've done the best job of making the most of what they've had and have had success against the right teams at the right time going into the tournament. Illinois, who was quiet going in this year, I think could quietly be the best team in the country. Same kind of noise the year Virginia won the national championship. I know that was the year after they kind of got knocked out by
great response, though.
University That's of Maryland, literally Boston County.
The only thing they could have done but after losing as a one seed
is win.
Winning the next year, which they did. So good for them.
But yeah. I think that this is going to be a great year for everyone. I'm super excited.
Great time. Starts tomorrow. I'm so excited.
It's
man.
On. It's on like Donkey Kong. I'm getting one of the waitresses to laugh at me.
It was kind of funny.
Chloe is one of my favorite people. Shout out to her boyfriend, Ryan, who runs a charter fishing business here in Escanaba, RTH Fishing. Absolutely one of the best guys I know. Sometimes when those charters get canceled, I get a trip. So book your charters with RTH Fishing just so that you can cancel it and I can take your spot and get some free fishing days. So shout out to Ryan for that one. But that's going to wrap up this week's edition of The Hot Seat. Tyler, you got any final thoughts before we take our final bow here?
EJ, just like I said before, like multiple times, just super glad that we have a bracket to look at. Literally, like filling this out today, I was just happy.
Thank God.
Happy to do it. Obviously, everyone knows what happened last year. Man, it's going to be a good tournament. And this first round starting Friday, Saturday, it's going to be awesome. Just looking forward to it. It's going to be fun, and I'm glad we get to talk about it, you know?
So that'll wrap up this week's edition of The Hot Seat. Again, The Hot Seat is powered by the Game Entertainment Media. Check us out at thegamesportshow.com, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. I'll replug them later. Another shout-out, thank you to our sponsor and our host for the night, Moe's Pub in Escanaba, best place to catch the game in Escanaba, best pub in Escanaba with 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap. Even if they got guy's name Will Servin, trust me, he's okay. He's usually behind a bar. He's a coach at Bay College who's done a great job this year. Shout-out to the Bay College Norse. Tyler's the notorious NORSE for that. I told Will I'd give him a shout-out on the show, so I got to plug that. But again, thank you, Moe's Pub. 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap. Best place to catch game in Escanaba, best pub in Escanaba. Thank you to SoRite, PSO-RITE.com. That's So-Rite.com. Again, PSO-RITE.com, So-Rite.com. Unique U-Shape fitness product designed to help with recovery and wellness. I use mine every time that I go golfing. It's a great tool to stretch out your back. Check out the SoRite, SoSpine. There's so much more that you could do. check them out. That's So-Rite.com, PSO-RITE.com. Use code GEM10 for an additional 10% off your order. Again, check us out on Spotify, Apple, Podbean, Podtail, Podworld. We are powered by the Game Entertainment Media. Check us out at thegamesport.com. I am your host, EJ Russell. He is my partner, the notorious NORSE Escanaba Excellence, Tyler Ouellette.
Yes, sir.
And we will check you out on the next edition of The Hot Seat, powered by the Game Entertainment Media. We will see you.